moving. But I want to share with you this morning something that is been on my heart for a while. And it was interesting. I was talking to Amy and Aaron this morning about how I haven't spoken since last June. And I think that there's a reason for that. And I think it's because I've been walking through this season. And that's what I want to share with you a little bit. Tim asked me to speak this Sunday back in December or thereabouts. And so in prepping for this message, I've been thinking a lot about the end of the year and the new year. And as I've been talking with people, I've heard from a lot of people that 2019 was a really hard year. And as the transition from 2019 into 2020 was happening, a theme kept coming up in conversations and in my quiet time with God, and that theme was perseverance. To me, perseverance is a cringeworthy word. I don't know how you feel all about it, but when I feel think about perseverance, actually this picture comes to mind. Perseverance to me feels like this, that you're stuck in this dirt and this mud, and you're not going to get out of it until you're done. You're not going to be through it until it's over, until you've reached the end of it. And last spring, summer, having lost 4 people in my life in about the process of 4 months, 2 people really, really close to me, and 2 people that are in basically every childhood memory I have since the age of 8. Walking through that has been difficult, and it has felt like perseverance is the only way to get through this. But like every season, I still think that there is beauty in perseverance. I think there's beauty to be found in this. It's not the shiny, clean beauty. It's not even the showered beauty. You may still be covered in mud, but I think there's a beauty that perseverance connects us with our hearts in a really deep way. So today I want to talk about perseverance in our hearts and how they're connected. I want to talk about some practical things, some things that I have learned that people have shared with me through this process. It's not an exhaustive list, but I just wanted to share what I've experienced and what I've learned. And at the very end, I just want to leave you with some encouragement. Because to be in a season of perseverance, it is hard, and I want to be able to share with you what has been shared with me. If you want to turn, we're going to start in Galatians 6:9, but I'm going to pray for us before we get started. But if you want to turn there, go ahead. If not, the verses will be up on the screen for you, but let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you. I thank you so much that you are already here with us. You are welcome. You, your spirit, God, you are welcome. And we invite you here in this place, and we thank you that you are here. I just want to take authority over this room right now, and I just say, and I just speak out to any spirits that are not of God. You must leave this place. Any spirits of feeling of unworthiness, inferiority, any distractions, any confusion, we just cancel your assignments right now, and you must leave. We just speak out that only the Holy Spirit can move and breathe and speak in this place. God, I ask that you would work through me, that your words that you want spoken would be spoken today, God. And I ask as well that every single person here and anybody who is also listening to this recording, God, that you would speak directly to them, to speak directly to their hearts, God. And anything that's not of you, God, that I might say, I just ask that that fall away, that that not be remembered, but that you meet, God, that you meet your children here today, God. We love you and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The King James Version puts it this way, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But who, when they're tired, exhausted, and drained, feels like they're doing well? If you're tired and exhausted, you look at what you're doing and you go, I stink at this. I should quit or at least take a nap. But I'm not really talking about the tiredness of just staying up too late one night or not getting enough sleep or just being really busy in the week. I'm talking about a tiredness that you feel life is being drained from you. Life is being drained from you, and you know if you're in that tiredness. You know if you've been in that season for a really, really long time. And this is the tiredness that I'm talking about, that you look at what you're doing in this tiredness and you go, how is this what I'm doing? How could this, Galatians 6:9, what Paul's saying cannot apply to me because I'm tired and what I'm doing does not feel good or that it is producing anything good. But I think that we get tiredness and weakness confused. Just because you're tired doesn't mean you're weak. If you go to the gym and work out, you'll probably come away tired, but does that mean you're weaker? It's the exact opposite, right? You have worked and you have worked your muscles and you're ending stronger than you were before, but you still might be tired. Tired isn't weakness. So don't use tiredness to think that you're not doing well, that what you're producing, what you're doing isn't good. So it's in this that Paul is trying to give you encouragement, to give all of us encouragement, that what we are doing is good, to not give up in it because we will reap something good in the end of this. I really like the New King James Version of this passage, and it goes like this. Of Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Friends, perseverance, not giving up, it's about our hearts. It's connecting to our hearts. Paul isn't saying to us, don't give up because eventually you'll get it right. Don't give up because at some point you'll reach perfection. Or don't give up because at one point maybe something that you're doing will produce something good. Paul's talking about that we will reap good things. But it's about your heart, and it's about not losing heart and keeping our hearts alive in this process that is hard. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Other versions say, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What does it look like to not lose heart? Don't give up. Don't faint. Keep going. Guys, perseverance and our hearts are connected. Romans 5 talks about our hearts and perseverance and the connection there and the build and this journey that we're on. The beginning of Romans 5 is really beautiful, and it talks about how we've been justified by faith, that we have peace with God, that we're surrounded by grace, and it culminates in this beautiful aspect, and we praise God, we rejoice in the glory of the hope of God, in his goodness, in all that is great, in all that he is. But verse 3 transitions it a little bit. It's easy to look at God and the goodness and the peace that we're in and the grace that we're surrounded by and say, yes, we glory and rejoice in this. But starting in verse 3 of Romans 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. Perseverance takes us on a journey. Galatians talks about how we're going to reap on this journey. Personally, in the past year or so, I have felt after everything that happened to keep going, I was overwhelmed by it all, and I just put my head down and I took one step and put one foot in front of the other and one foot in front of the other. And that's all I felt like I could do. My head was down and I just walked one step at a time. And to be completely honest, I thought I was getting worse at every step. I thought I was going and falling apart more and more after every step. But I was talking to a friend recently, and it felt like something had shifted in that this season was getting just a little bit easier. And so that I brought my head up and I kind of looked around me. But it was strange in this feeling of finally not having to have my head down through this process. I looked up and I was slightly disoriented the thing is, when I put my head down and I just walked and took steps one in front of the other, all I was visualizing, all I was thinking about where I was where I was when I put my head down. That was the last thing I had seen. That was the last emotions that I had taken account of. And I was there in that place. And so when I turned my head and I looked up and I wasn't there anymore, I didn't understand. I didn't know that by choosing to put one foot in front of the other and one foot in front of the other every single day, that I was persevering and that I was getting to a better place. Friends, perseverance produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. It's not a wish. We're not talking about a dream. We're not talking about, oh, this would be nice if I won $1 million or something. No, we're talking about a hope that is real, a confidence in a God that we know, and a Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and the love that God pours into our hearts through that. Friends, perseverance in suffering connects us more to our hearts and connects us more to the God who loves us so dearly. But I think it also connects us to this person that we're becoming. This was a strange thought that came to me, but kind of try and stick with me in it. I was talking to a friend, and I had this realization that that at the end of this all, at the end of this season, at the end of this pushing through, this perseverance, I was going to come out on top. That I was actually going to come out, and I was going to be more developed. I was going to be a stronger person. I was going to be more the person that I liked, more me. More of who I really, really, and truly am. And I realized if I'm going to come out on top, if when I get there and when I get pushed through this and reach someplace, when I get to that point where I'm like, yeah, this is more who I am. If that's coming, then who I am right now is feeding into that person. Who I am now is also that person that I am becoming. So if I am becoming this person that I will see more and be proud of more, than who I am now is also that person. Because I will be strong, I am strong now. We're not supposed to become weary and well-doing because we are doing well. Hold on to hope. Don't give up. You're doing well. Something is coming. You're going to reap beautiful things, but don't lose heart. And it's nice to talk about how perseverance is a good thing and how it connects us to God and produces more hope. But what about practically? What does that look like? Do you know what suffering does, friends? It gets us to the end of ourselves. We feel like we're falling apart and shattering, and we realize that there is nothing on this earth that can put us back together. And so it brings us to God. And if you think you don't know how to pray and reach out to Him, you can just say, help. If you're drowning, no one is asking you to write a poem. Just call out help, and if help seems to be too much, there's something else that we do as well that brings people running. Babies know this. They just cry. Sometimes you don't need words. Sometimes you just need to cry out. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for you will be comforted. In Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He really meets us. He really does. I've had friends tell me that in their season of pain, there was such a sweetness to their relationship with God that when they got out of that pain, they missed that sweetness. They missed that closeness. They loved the beautiful new season that they were in, but there was something really special about the way that God met them in their pain. When I was talking to another friend about this message and what I wanted to share and about perseverance and this theme that had been going on, they reminded me of Revelation 12:11, which is, we will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The him there is the enemy that's trying to take us out and take us down, but we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's two parts to that. We have the blood of the Lamb. It's Jesus who has fought for us, is fighting for us, and has won, has defeated death. He is on our side. And so we're not doing this alone. We are doing it with him. But I want to talk more about the word of our testimony. I think we know about how when people share our stories with us or we hear other people sharing their stories, we know that that's encouraging to us. It builds our faith. We can see what God does for other people and we go, ah, that's beautiful. And we feel that encouragement. But something that happened to me this Christmas season was I was talking with some family and friends. And I started sharing my story. They started asking me, how are you doing? And they knew what happened. They knew what I had been through. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't really like to depress people when I talk to them about my life. You know, there's always something that's going on. I like to be real. I like to be honest. I don't like to be fake. Like, I don't love to just say that life is all sunshine and roses. I like to say, no, like, life is real, too. Life can be hard. But I don't really want them to come away, like, super bogged down by the things that have happened in my life. And so what I tried to do with the balance with that is I'll share what's real and what's really been happening, but then I also want to tell them some of the really great things that God has done. And so to help them out, I start sharing some of the beautiful things and the ways that God has met me and the answered prayers that he's given, and like specific answered prayers that are bigger and beyond anything that I thought he would do or could have even imagined. And what happened was, as I was sharing these stories, my heart was encouraged. When we share our testimony, when we share our story, we're overcoming with our testimony because we have to remind ourselves that God is good for us. It's really great to hear stories by other people and to be encouraged about what God can do and what God has done in the past. But so often we start questioning, yeah, but is God going to be good to me? Does God have good for me? And when we share our stories, we remember that. We remember the history that we have built with God, where he has come through for us time and time again. And right next to the darkest dark point in our life, he has come in and brought the brightest light. And those are coming together, and that's beautiful. And that's how we're going to overcome. So share your story. Share your story. And remember, when other people are sharing theirs, it's going to be encouragement to you, but it also might be for them. They might need you to give them the gift of listening to their story so that they can be reminded of what God has done in their life. So pray, meet with God, just cry out to him, share your story, listen to other people's stories. And also, what I want to encourage you to do in these seasons, in this time of perseverance, is to meet with people. Sharing your story is part of it, but I want to encourage you to meet with people who also pray for you and encourage you and remind you of truth and speak things into you. I want to share a weird vision that I had when I was talking with a friend. A friend called me and was like, how are you doing? And I went, well, I don't know how to describe this because it feels really weird and it looks really weird, but this is how I'm feeling. And they were very kind and listened and didn't think I was crazy. So if you think I'm crazy, that's okay. I have one friend who doesn't. I saw this picture and I saw these swords and they were pointing up at me. The hilt of the sword was down in the ground and it was angled up and they kind of were like in a square shape. There was a lot of them and two guys were in this vision. Two guys were dragging me towards the swords. And I went, this is how I feel. This is how I feel my life is going, that I am heading towards this pain that I cannot avoid. And I was telling my friend, I'm like, I don't know if this is demonic. I don't know if this is the enemy trying to come against me and if I need to be like, get behind me, Satan, or whatever. But I was like, it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that it's negative. It feels that it's actually just my life. It feels like that's the pain I'm going to have to feel, that that's the pain that I've been ignoring, and I'm going to have to go through it. And in this season, I've had someone ask me when I was holding back tears, they're like, are you afraid to start crying because you think you're never going to stop? And I said, yeah. But as I was talking to this friend who was being so gracious to me as I told this weird picture that I saw in my head, all of a sudden it shifted. The perspective shifted. And I saw myself flying over these swords. And I realized that the reason that the guys were dragging me was because they were going to throw me over. And it produced such a hope in me. And I realized that some of the things that I feared, some of the pain that I thought that I was going to have to feel and go through, God said, no, you're not going to go through everything you fear. You're not going to have to feel every piece of pain that you're scared of, that you think you might have to face. My grace is going to send you over it. And I had such hope. One other piece on hope that I want to share with you is a couple years ago, I had this friend and they came up to me and they said, I think you need to hold on to hope like a little child holds on to a teddy bear. For real, I'm not kidding. So they go, I think you need to hold on to hope like this and like clutch your arm and pretend you've got a teddy bear in there that you will not let anyone steal. And I did it. And for the next couple weeks and the next couple months, I walked around like this by myself. Didn't really want to ask anybody, have anybody ask me like, what are you doing? What is that? But I held on to this hope and it changed me. It really did, because so often, the enemy's just asking us to give it up. He's asking us to give up hope. He's asking, like, ah, will you believe? Will you believe that God is not good? Will you believe that God doesn't have good for you? And he puts in all these questions. But when I was holding on to it, I was like, ah, I have hope. I know a God who is good. I have good things coming because my God loves me. And I walked around like this. So if you guys need to walk around like that to hold on to your hope, I give you permission. If this is like a safe place, we can all do it together. If you don't want to do it in front of other people, that's fine. I didn't. But sometimes it really takes a physical action to hold on to something that feels so intangible. G.K. Chesterton has this like great quote. It goes, fairy tales do not tell children that dragons exist. Children already know that dragons exist. Fairy tales tell children that dragons can be killed. And this is not just true about fairy tales. It's true about the stories in the Bible. And it's true about our testimonies, your stories, and our stories. It shows us, it reminds us what God has done and what God is going to keep doing. So friends, pray, call out to God, cry, share your story, meet with people, build hope, and hold on to it. Before we close today, I just want to leave you with some encouragement. To share my story up here, I don't want to be up here and have you go, okay, so Alana's made it through a lot of things, so maybe I can too. I'm not there. I haven't arrived. I haven't fully gotten to the point that I want to yet. But what I want you to come away with is that you're not alone. You're not the only one walking through things. You're not the only one trying to get through the mud and push through. I want you to know that you're not alone and that we're cheering you on. Together, we are cheering each other on. I want to share this story that I saw on Instagram, and you know, it's the internet, so it's true, right? Well, you know, doesn't matter exactly that. But I read this, and it hit me, and it just brought this revelation of how we're not alone in a really interesting way. So I'm going to read it to you. It goes like this. I gave a man a ride today. He couldn't stop crying. He was walking across town with flowers in his hand, and I asked him where I could take him. He said, the cemetery. He was still crying and saying, God bless you. I took him to the cemetery and waited for him. I could hear him talking to the headstone, and what I heard changed my life. He said, Mom, I made you a promise when I was young that I'd buy you flowers on all of your birthdays. Today is your birthday, and I thought I was going to break that promise because I was going to take my own life. But this woman came out of nowhere, so generous and godly, and she offered me a ride to you. She noticed me. She told me that God has a plan for me, and she probably thinks I'm crazy because I can't stop crying. But I can't stop crying because her name is Emily. That's your name, Mom. You saved me. And I'm sitting in my car on my lunch break, and I'm crying as I read this story, and I go, why? I don't know this person, and I probably will never meet this person. But I realized that our favorite stories are when someone is on the brink of losing it, and they make it. When they get the breakthrough, when they get the job, when they regain hope, when they choose life, those are the stories that move us. Why? Because we're really rooting for each other. We want each other to win. We look at each other and we go, you can do this. You've got it in you. And I know that there are people that are around us that aren't cheering us on. I know that there are people that don't want good for us, that aren't hoping for us, that they're jealous or they just want to beat us down. But I want you to know on the whole that there are people out there that if they heard your story, they would be cheering you on. They would be rooting for you. And in that, we're not alone. Jesus said when he left earth to go back to heaven and his Father, what he left us with was, I will never leave you or forsake you. He left us himself, he left us his Holy Spirit, and he left us each other. So I want you to be encouraged that you are not alone. So find the good, find the beauty, know that you're doing well, don't give up. Know that you're going to reap a harvest, but keep your heart in the process. Don't lose your heart. Stand strong, persevere, let character grow in you. Remember, God is in the midst of us, he is with us, and we will not be shaken.